Hey there, this is Steve. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you because you're on the Let's Try the Stand-Up Comedy Show.
Hey, man. Good to be here. This is exciting.
Yeah, man. This is the what happens is, as we're learning how to use this podcast, as soon as you pop into the conversation, you're in. You're right in. So the recording starts.
So we're rolling.
We're rolling. We are in the actual episode. Yeah. So this is let's try stand-up comedy, which is a thought that you and I had a while back.
Yeah. And a brilliant thought.
Yeah. I was thinking this today. I was like, do you think our age, you know, I'm 44, you're 55. Does it put us at a disadvantage?
That's a great question. Hey, way to kick off with a great question. I think it goes both ways. I think it could be an advantage or a disadvantage. Might be a disadvantage when standing in front of like a younger crowd and they might be like, oh, this guy, you know, I'm not, might be hard to be as relatable, maybe, but maybe not.
I don't like younger comics.
Edit that out. Scratch that one out. There's probably a lot of young people that want to try.
I can't think of one comic under 30 I like.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Well, you loved Eddie Murphy. I loved Eddie Murphy. He was only in his 20s when he busted out. He was amazing. A lot of these guys have been around a long time.
He was a freak of nature.
I think that, you know, the old cliche, age is just a number, right? But I think also having, you know, some life experience under your belt really helps you. And I think that at 55, I've tried a lot of different things. You know, you know how to tinker with things. So
there's not like a comedy menopause.
Well, if there is, we're about to hit it.
I think you're about to hit it.
I'm getting warmer right now. Just sitting here. I just had a flash, so I was concerned about that. So now I kind of know. Yeah, maybe it's a comedy menopause. But I think it could be really beneficial to you. And the thing about the whole stand-up, I think you just got to start wherever you're at. You know, there is no... You can't be anybody else. You know, you got to start with whatever tool. So if you're 18 and trying this, you're going to come at it as 18. If you're 60, you're going to see that. Like we saw just the other night, we saw a couple of older comics and they were hilarious. Yeah. And they really blew me away. I was like, oh, these guys are really funny. That one lady was really funny. The guy was really funny. And they, you know, I think part of it is, I'd like to say I'm established in my life, like I am established in my life, but you know, I got a family and we got, you know, job and responsibilities. Yeah. Hope, you know, so if you bomb on stage, you know, on a Wednesday night with 11 people watching you, it's not going to devastate you. it's not going to, you know, knock the apple cart over. You know what I mean? It's going to be like, well, you know, that was kind of fun. You know,
the bills will still get paid.
We hope, yeah. We hope so, yeah. But if you're giving it all and you're all into it, that's another school of thought. Is like some people approach this as like, don't have a backup plan. Like, this is it. I'm completely going for it. And that's got a lot of merit, too. I mean, that I think you're going to feel the pressures and the highs and lows a lot more. Seinfeld said a good thing on one of his, you know, we both like that Comedians in Cars episodes. Those are great. I love all of those. And he said a good thing in there. He said, I forget who he was talking to, but he said, do you think having money makes you less funny? Like, as soon as you start throwing money at it, it's harder to be funny in a way. Things get bigger, a little more pressure. But I think if you're a rich guy trying this, you're not as funny somehow. But maybe you are. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of interesting insight. And
yeah,
I've never felt successful in my life. So I feel like that's a blessing in this scenario where it's like, you know, this is just another fun. It's a fun thing to do. It's really fun.
I wish personally I would have started a little earlier, but I kept waiting for that phone call that said, okay, Peter, we got you. You're booked on stage.
Don't you feel like you were funnier? earlier. Like,
yeah, after I just
20 years
said,
ago,
yeah.
I was hilarious. Yeah. Now I'm like, not that funny.
Yeah, I feel like I was funny maybe 10. I was a little quicker, at least with my wit. But the problem is I think what a lot of people do when they think about doing stand-up comedy is they think that'll just happen. But the phrase, if not now, then when, kind of comes to mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, but no one ever, there's never the call. There's never an agent that's going to come on your door and be like, okay, we're ready for you to do stand-up.
Right. We've been watching you. You're amazing.
These are the best jokes.
Yeah. Your buddies told us about you, and we watch you.
Yeah.
Can you do Letterman? Can you do Letterman in Thursday?
Are you great?
I can call in sick, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a true. I've kind of heard that similarly.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
But you know, I just didn't answer my own inner call until I was 44.
I think we've both harbored a desire to do this. We love, you know, but you're just part of loving stand up. Well, I will give you huge credit if people are not listening. Peter Martin is very musical and had a that was your path. You were really putting your passion into music and
I think because musicians
sometimes we'll have to play one of your songs.
Musicians get more chicks, don't you think? Musicians.
Oh yeah, I think
so at
that
time it was driven
better
by
looking,
my...
probably better looking.
better looking chicks. Yeah,
we get the ones with the glasses. Mm-hmm. You get the glasses, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
Comedians get the girls with the weird glasses and the strange haircuts.
I think they get older women.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Older, yeah. I think kind of the MILF cougar crowd.
Put it this way. I haven't gotten any women from Cobb. There's been – so I can't talk on this. There has been no evidence – of women as a product of success.
A benefit in your
yeah.
in your
yeah, sweater. Nobody's waiting for me by the dumpster when I get out of there. You know? No, I haven't seen one. You
wait, Steve. It's gonna happen.
Right, yeah.
You wait. It's gonna happen. Hey, so let me ask you this, just kind of I don't know if go ahead. You have something else to say?
No.
We can't have a show of go ahead. Yeah, you first. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, me. No, you.
You should. No. Okay.
I was gonna.
You, yeah. What material are you working on right now? What are you crafting right now over there in Seattle? What's in your mad laboratory of funny jokes?
My mad comedy laboratory.
What are you cooking up right now? You got anything? That's.
Well,
let's say this. Your first act, you came to the table with Chinese.
No, don't say. Yeah.
A certain group that is that populates most of the world.
I have a premise.
A population of 3.5 billion, and spent 3 minutes. Some would say assaulting one country or a race of people.
I think I did pretty
comedy.
Well.
Yeah. There was funny stuff in there. And then the second night, you crafted up an Uber that sort of seemed the jokes about the Uber. Yeah. So I'm curious now, what is the next 4 minutes going to dominate?
So I'd like to go back and touch on my Chinese friends, my 3.5 million Chinese.
I thought you were going to leave it alone.
Well, so here's the premise. And here's what I was trying to get to. And this is a great first lesson. So Pete and I, if you guys don't know, I think in the intro he said what we did. But we both have gone up on stage twice. First time at Tacoma Comedy Club. Second time at this place called Cookies in Bremerton. And
classy joint.
I would like to, we'll get to that one too, probably. But
yeah.
But the premise, so we had friends and family and stuff. People were there to see our first time, experimental comedy. And overall, we did okay, all three. And there was also another friend, Rick Rudy, who went up there.
Yeah.
And so it was three friends. We've been friends for, 20 years plus each. And we all kind of had the idea, let's do comedy. Peter kind of needled us into it. He kind of started the ball rolling, and we're like, oh yeah, okay, let's do it. So we all went up there, we did our thing, and we had various levels of success and various levels of failure, let's say. And part of my failure was at the least comfortable material and the least kind of confident, but in my mind, I was kind of trying to work it and think it was kind of funny. But the premise is the Chinese folks are so confident in finding love because they live in a country of like 3.5 billion people. And it seems like, if you've ever been to China, like it seems like you can see like a million people at a time. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but does that mean Chinese people only date Chinese people?
Well, in China, primarily, I would say that's the leading person.
But there's probably other Chinese people.
Of course, there's a million. So anyway, yeah, of course. But the idea was, you know, they're just so confident that, like, if you're going through a breakup in China, you know, you're pretty sure, you know, you're gonna meet somebody new. You know, that was the premise. Sure. It's not like, well, it's hard to find another person. You know,
there's a lot of Chinese people in the sea.
Of course, it is hard to find people. But anyway. Touching on the whole Chinese thing, and I just kind of went on and on too long about it. It didn't come out well.
So you're going back to China.
So I stayed away from it. After many, many wise friends and family have said, dude, don't, you know, that was kind of that
you're,
didn't
you're
come
taking
off.
The boat.
That didn't you're come off. Come off racist or whatever. And it's not totally not meant to be. It's sort of like, hey, we looked at Italy and France for like, let's have coffee and get together and have dinner. And it's like, those are the romantic countries. But truly, like, true confident in romance was the Chinese, which I've never heard said, like, that's never been an association. So I was trying to build a real kind of difficult bridge.
Yeah,
way too much to ask people.
So what
to,
are you
to get
what
on
are you working
with.
On now? What are you working, what's your Chinese
Chinese, I've said sayonara to the Chinese, which I think is
Japanese.
Oh, I think that's Japanese. I think that's Japanese.
Yeah.
Sheshe, or whatever they said. Yeah. No, yeah. I might come back to, you know, when I'm bigger and stronger and have concocted something better, I might come back to that. There's a nugget of that I like, but truly the way I put it out there, and I was like kind of bummed like that. It was part of my first set because it just didn't come up. And that's all people kind of took away. They were like, ooh. That was a little bit.
So touchy. What are you working on now? Do you have anything you're working on?
Oh
now?
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of little notes.
What's the topic? What are you cracking? Can you share it? Or
I have the Uber one that I did. I really enjoyed that one. I think that one came out pretty good. I got a Boy Scout one. That's pretty funny.
Oh, you're bringing in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I got the Boy Scouts. Yeah. I've got, I got a prison one that's really pretty good, I think. I got a bunch of things. I mean, I start my notes in my phone. You know, I open that little phone note app, and I jot it down in there, and then I try, you know, put the little kernel of the idea in there, and then kind of build from there. So I don't really have anything.
Do you tell your joke in your head first? I mean, so you put it in your phone, and then you like rehearse it in your brain, or do you like?
Oh,
close
yeah.
the door in the bathroom and like talk to the mirror.
Yeah, all those. Yeah, recorded on the phone or the iPad or something. Yeah, all those kind of things. Kind of refine it, say it different ways. But you know, you could do that a million times, but until you'd say it, like,
you
on
know,
stage in front of people. What do you? Don't you kind of do the same thing? That you do this?
Well, I've changed my routine because what my wife did is she found my like my rehearsals, and she started sending them to her family.
Oh, you're like your recorded phone.
Yeah.
So you video.
Yeah, it was for me.
That's,
yeah.
That's not good. That's like sending your dirty laundry out there.
Well, you know, and other things might have happened on the video too. You know, who knows?
Yeah. I got the wife. I got the wife walking by right now. She's heading to get some Chinese food.
She's giving you a dirty look.
Yeah, no, she's smiling away. She thinks it's funny that we're doing our cast here. She's going. I have a nice thing at home. And I love her to death, but she's probably not too into it. She just thinks it's kind of funny to kind of like, okay, whatever you're gonna, you got to do your podcast.
It's kind of like,
so I told her, because this is our first podcast. So I told her she's very busy. She's very professional. So I communicated it to her in a way that she would understand. And I told her, honey, I have a conference call at 3:00.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, yeah. Oh, conference call. What's that about? I go, well, it's our podcast. She's like, oh, okay. Like, so it's not a real conference call. It's just you and your buddy chatting on the phone again. Okay.
Right.
You guys don't know when you're listening. Pete and I talk on the phone quite a bit. So it's one of the treasures of my life.
in a non-gay way.
Well, I mean, we could get there. I'm not going to rule that out. We could get there. You know what I mean?
We could get some hot, heavy talk.
Hey, you're only 44 or whatever. You should have an open mind. You know what I mean? Keep it fresh.
I'm working on.
I'm actually surprised we've kept it so heterosexual all these years. You know what I mean?
I've had drunk.
I've had all kinds of opportunities.
Not one slip up.
We've both been real gentlemen. Really, really.
Yeah. I have no hashtag.
Yeah, not one slip. not one slip up. Yeah. You're like, you've always been like, so Pete and I, we have 11 years difference, but Pete's always been like the funny younger brother, you know, like you've always filled that. I'm the youngest of five, but you're my sixth, you know, younger brother. You've always.
And I'm the older brother in my family. I've always wanted to be a younger brother.
Oh, there
the
you go. See?
Brother. Yeah. So it works out.
So we're both getting something out of it, which is good. Yeah. Yeah,
we'll see what else we can get out of this.
But I'm loving our new comedy journey. I think this is pretty fun.
So, as you know, I'm working on because I'm going to go. You don't know if you're going to go on Wednesday night to good old Cookies Bar and Grill, but I'm working on my.
What do you got? What's your?
Well, I'm trying to get the courage to do the bear joke, which is the joke about I'm having an argument with my mother, and so that's the premise of the joke, and then I write down my grievances with my mother and sort of start in the middle of this argument that we're having, and the letter starts out, yes, mother, bears do shit in the woods more than you think that they do. It starts out, right? So it's weird. It's like wacky, so I'm going to go through this.
I've heard it, and it is wacky.
It's wacky.
It is a journey. Like I said, that Chinese journey was tough to go on. This is also a tough journey. You're asking a lot. But it's so out there that it's really funny. It's really.
Yeah, it could be funny, but that's just the thing. Like, it's just.
Yeah, it could be.
If it hits, it'll hit. Like, it'll be one of those things that hits really good. But anyway, so I go through all these things. I say that I'm a pottitarian, which is quote unquote a maker of pottery. And I go to the Northern Cascades to gather clay and rich soil to make my pottery. But I'm often deceived by the Canadian brown bears that freely cross our border and shit on our side of the border. And so really it's an argument sort of about Donald Trump is the joke in there, because I want to talk about the southern border and how we're after the Mexicans. But really, as this argument with my mother, but really the issue isn't the Mexicans, it's the brown bears that are shitting and ruining the rich soil I need to make vases and pottery things with my hands. It's very niche. There's a lot in that joke. Yeah.
Very niche. Yeah. Very niche.
So I think the key is to, I mean, it's a complicated, I mean, the premise is almost, it's, you know, it's got to get stripped down more simple. Yeah. Maybe I just find jokes just inside of that whole thing. Like, maybe I just start saying, it's not the Mexicans I'm worried about, it's those damn Canadian grizzly bears.
Why do you think that's funny? Why do you think that's funny?
Because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You take them on a ridiculous journey.
Yeah, and to me, I like ridiculous. Some of my favorite guys.
You're a norm.
To ridiculous.
Yeah, you're a
norm. McDonald fan. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and he gets ridiculous.
Yeah. So that takes a lot of courage, because you're asking the audience to go somewhere. Like, you know, I've been doing this I've been doing the Boy Scout joke, my little kind of start out routine, which is, oh, it's been consistent two times where I know like where the laughs are, but they're never, they're not like huge laughs. They're just sort of,
yeah,
like, ah, that's funny. So,
well, I like the whole Royal Rangers thing. That's a funny, just that, yeah. So Peter was in the Royal Rangers as a kid and not in Boy Scouts, and Royal Rangers is an evangelical, basically Boy Scout organization.
The Christian Boy Scouts.
Yeah, Christian version of the Boy Scouts, yeah. And I think that's funny. Just the Royal Rangers is kind of funny. So there's a lot. There's stuff there. You've got to keep, you know, you've done it twice. It came out okay, but there is probably more there. There's like us. There's almost more of a subtle, it's almost more subtle than it is. Like just saying, I wanted to be a Boy Scout, but my parents were so religious that they made me sign up for the Royal Rangers, which is also, it's almost like, you know, equal to like, I always wanted Nikes when I went to school, but my mom got me like Pumas or Filas or, you know, I never got the brand. I always got kind of picked on because my, you know, your parents are like, well, it's good enough. They're just as good as Nikes. And, you know, that kind of, it's that kind of like thing to me, that kind of.
Yeah,
it runs parallel. Everybody knows the Boy Scouts, but the Royal Rangers kind of runs parallel to the Boy Scouts. Yeah.
So the other thing I'm going to focus on, I'm going to ask you this too. I want to focus on slowing down when I'm telling my joke.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to. I'm stepping over my jokes.
Yeah.
And pausing is just so hard not to talk over yourself. So that's my next focus. So I'm going to try.
Yep.
I don't know how the bear thing is going to come out. It might come out. I might just break it up into a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
Of reading the letter.
We talked previously about the one Mississippi, two Mississippi in your head. And that's really, when you watch, if you guys are listening and you're trying it out, definitely record your set. You know, record if you can. Have a friend phone, do it on a phone or put your phone on a little stand or something. Because we've spent so much time. It's amazing how much time you can rehash, you know, 4 minutes. And if you're not able to watch it again, it's going to slow down your growth for sure. It's like, So you gotta, you know, that's kind of a no brainer, I guess, but I find kind of amazed at how many times I watch people's sets that I just went to see. And I think it's really funny. And the more I watch it, like day after, if I watch it, it has one impact. If I watch it like a week later, I see it a different little way and all these little things that you can do better. But you were very smart. You said our last one we did at Cookies, it was literally hard. You know, it was just all people there doing open mic. But when you looked out at the crowd, air quotes, there was like six people. They're all looking down at the tables, you know, guy getting a beer in the back. I mean, it was really, and I made this joke with Peter. It was like doing a performance at a detention hall. It was like you got called after school and everybody had their heads down on their desk. And then you got up and started doing some ridiculous jokes. So it was that level of crowd entertainment.
But
people were still listening to stuff. So it was hard to like pause because there was no reaction. There was like on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 10 people clapping or booing or heckling or whatever, like you actually have a crowd. This was a 1 or a half of 1 point, and it was sort of like you're just up there saying your material, and you might as well have been in your bathroom doing your material. You know, but
that's, I think, good. It has to be that way.
Yeah, but I think in that instance it's really hard to pause because you don't have any of that feedback. But it's still very important to pause because, as you talked about, we talked about before, if you pause, it gives people time to sort of focus in and absorb it. So the combination of not having much of an audience, being, you know, nervous second time, still nervous up there, you know, a little bit. So it's all those things where it makes you just speak faster and you kind of talk over your own punchlines and stuff. So that was our takeaway. Slow down, relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, I think that this is a good start here for our first go around. I wrote a couple of questions here.
Sure. Let's do it. I guess looks like we're at like 24 minutes right now.
Yeah. So I thought we'd wrap up.
Should keep it at 30 maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep.
Okay. What are you working on? Okay, you got your bear. Clayton going?
Working on my bear. I'm working on not getting over on myself a little bit. So here you go, Whitey.
Yeah.
What's something that just really just pisses you off sideways? I mean, just really, like Peter Griffin says, what grinds your gears?
What grinds your gears?
What really gets you?
So many things. So the pedestrians.
what about pedestrians in particular?
Everything about a pedestrian. The way they look, the way they walk, yeah. You know, the crosswalk, the you know, like a lot of people have commented on, like, we live in Seattle, very techie, so I'm sure it's everywhere. People are on their phones all over the country, but it's Seattle, and you know, I work in a downtown area, and it's you know, people crossing the phones, crossing the street, looking at their phones. Crossing against the light, and you know, it just seems like wherever that person is, they're right. You know, like a pedestrian across the street, they have no idea what a car is all about. Like, oh, I don't even know what that thing is. You know, like obviously this car is trying to get through, and somebody will just walk in front of the car. And what gets me is they'll walk in front of the car, and then they'll like look down at the phone and start thinking like, oh, it's a good time to, you know, send a text. Or it's like, why don't you, like, what happened to people's like own self-preservation? And like, you know, you're walking in the street, like you should probably look around, right? Probably be aware of your own safety. These are cars that are coming at you, you know, your phone, and being right and righteous isn't going to protect
didn't kids used to get in trouble for looking at your feet when you walk? That wasn't a thing.
I have a 9-year-old.
Do I remember that?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Wasn't that
look,
a thing?
Look up, look around. Yeah.
Yeah. Look what you're look up. Look,
look
where
left,
you're
go- look right. Yeah.
Look where you're going, buddy. Isn't that that's a thing?
Yeah.
Until nobody's looking where they're going.
Yeah, that kind of that bugs me. That bugs me. I will often stop, like so if I'm a pedestrian, I still see the traffic, and I know if the guy's trying to like take a left and it's busy with people walking, you know, even if it's he's supposed to go or whatever, like if there's no light, I'll sometimes just stop. I see the car, he's got his blinker on, and obviously he's been stuck there for a little while because nobody's like let him come in. I will stop as a pedestrian and just give him the little wave, like takes you 2 seconds. He's out, he's kind of hanging out in the middle of the street, you know what I mean? Like he's in danger. He's like, you gotta let this guy turn. So I will, this is what really grinds my gear, Peter Griffin. I will stop. So here's a, let's say, it's hard to describe. Guy's trying to turn right. I see him. He sees me. I'm not in a huge hurry. I stop on the sidewalk, give him a little wave. People behind me walking will just continue walking. They'll pass me. They see me stopped, but they'll just walk across the street and then block the guy again. And I can't tell you how many times that happens. And I'll look at the car and be like, sorry, dude. Like, I tried. But, like, the people aren't aware. Does that make sense? Like, the people aren't aware behind me that they don't pick up on what this circumstance and this little situation is. Like, they don't go, oh, there's a guy trying to turn. Why don't we just wait 1 second and let him go in, and then we can keep walking. But they will pass. I will be stopped at the curb, and a group of people will just keep walking past me. And all the effort I just try to do is just for nothing. It's like, okay, well, sorry, dude. I tried. Like, I tried to help you across. That kind of thing. That's just, it's just weird to me. I don't know what sort of thing out in the ether and the cosmos has affected everybody. I mean, it's all over the place. It's not just here, but it's like, seems like people are less concerned. They're more concerned about being right or being.
I think people are less aware of themselves. I mean, you go into a grocery store,
and
somebody takes up the whole aisle, and you're trying, like, they don't move left, they didn't move right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Like they have no awareness. I'll tell you what really grinds my, what really chops my chops.
Yeah,
is men with bellies. I'll tell you why. Because it's a self-reflective loathing of myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so you see a guy with a belly and you're like, that's me.
That, that's what I look like right now. Doesn't matter how big or small in proportion. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter if maybe it's bigger or not. I just go, that's what I fucking look like to everybody. Just like that.
That's kind of
I hate that person. And then that other person's like looking at, like, why is that guy giving me a dirty look? Because it's me. Because it's me. You're me.
Yeah. You're everything I don't want to do. And then you go home. Yeah. And then you go home and eat a
three bowls of macaroni cheese.
You know, I never feel more powerful than right after I eat. Like, I'm like, right after I eat, let's say I pull into a McDonald's drive through or something rare, and just like eat a lot. And I know I shouldn't, and I feel gross. At that moment, I never have had so much self-motivation to be like, I'm going to start working out. You know what I mean? It's like right when you're disgustingly full, it's like, you know what? No. This is it. That's the last box of Oreos. I'm going to, you know, I'm working out tomorrow, you know.
And then for me, it's the same. For me, it's the same feeling I got when I was 13, immediately after I masturbated.
Oh,
and I'm hiding my porn.
Oh my god,
that's how I feel immediately after I eat fast food.
Sounds like you're a messy eater. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Note to self: don't eat any snacks at Peter's house.
Yeah, and don't go to fast food with Peter Martin.
Oh, good stuff, buddy. Good stuff.
Good, man. Well,
thanks, guys, for listening. If you know, if you're out there and you're listening, send us something. If you guys got a question or an idea or something, or you know, we didn't really touch on trying stand up very much.
Yeah, we did. I think we spent most of our time talking about what it's like, what it feels like.
Yeah,
we did a lot of that. It was just this last part we kind of went off into.
Yeah, I think we could get into that more because if you're listening, if that's what you're doing, if you're trying stand up. Go for it.
Well, then the next time we'll do this will be after Wednesday. It'll be Thursday.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
We do a show.
Good luck on yours. I think the little lady's traveling, so I'm single dad that week. I don't think I'll be able to get out to a show. But I'm looking forward to hearing yours. Record yours. We're going to figure out how to put some clips in here. And
put some clips. Still trying to figure out some live music too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
all right, Peter.
That's the show. Let's try comedy, stand up comedy.
Good job, buddy. Great talking to you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye bye. Later.